भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Chapter 17, text 40.
Itihasam imam punyam Chitraketor Mahatmanah Mahatmyam Vishnu Bhaktanam Shrutva Bhandat Vimuchyate Itihasam imam punyam.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Chitraketu was a great devotee, Mahatma. If one hears this history of Chitraketu from a pure devotee, the listener also is freed from the conditional life of material existence. Purport: The historical incidents in the Puranas, such as the history of Chitraketu explained in the Bhagavad Purana, are sometimes misunderstood by outsiders or non-devotees. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami advised that the history of Chitraketu be heard from a devotee. Anything about devotional service or the characteristics of the Lord and His devotees must be heard from a devotee, not from a professional reciter. This is advised hearing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's secretary also advised that one learn the history of Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee. Yaha Bhagavat Pada Vaishnavarasthani. One should not hear the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam from professional reciters, or else they will not be effective. Quoting from Padma Puran, Sri Sanatan Goswami has strictly forbidden us to hear about the activities of the Lord and His devotees from the mouths of non-devotees. Avaishnava Mukodgirnam Putam Harikatamritam Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpochishtam Yathapaya. One should not hear anything about Krishna from a non-Vaishnava. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects. Similarly, talks about Krishna given by a non-Vaishnava are also poisonous. One must be a bona fide devotee, and then he can preach and impress devotional service upon his listeners. Yat Pratruttaya Shraddhaya Vak Yat Patet Itihasam Harim Smritva Sayati Paramam Ghatim. Translation: One who rises from the bed early in the morning and recites this history of Chitraketu, controlling his words and mind and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will return home back to Godhead without difficulty. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu. Krishna, so you like to beg blessings from the devotees, so try to say something about Srimad Bhagavatam. Chitraketu was a great devotee, Mahatma. If one hears this history of Chitraketu from a pure devotee, the listener also is freed from the conditional life of material existence. Generally, more the age degrades, when people become grossly affected by the modes of nature, especially passion and ignorance, they want the output or effect, but they don't bother about the source. Like people go for job. Many big company owners also, this Nariman Point in this area, they don't have time to eat proper food in their homes or office. So they come down from their air-conditioned chambers office and come down to the Nariman Point corner where in the street they make this vada pav, sandwich vada pav. And they no time, and somehow they like the taste. It looks very nice. The texture is good. The color is good. So they just eat it. But they don't have the concept of the source or where it is coming from. We want the output or the product. That is a symptom of the age of Kali, that we want the output or the product. We don't bother about the source. The tinned food or the restaurant food. If you go into the kitchen, it's a different story altogether. But people want some other, the thing which is coming out should be nicely packaged and it should be attractive. So that is the concept of materialistic society. But here the Bhagavatam explains that one should hear the Bhagavatam from a bona fide source, proper souls, pure devotees. So it does not compromise with the source. In fact, the more importance is given for the source or the where it is coming from. It's like devotees, when they want to eat something, whatever attractive it may be, immediately they will ask where it is coming from. Where it is coming from, who made it? Immediately go to the source. Or somebody speaks some story, okay, who told the story, where it is coming from? Immediately go to the source. Or but if it is coming from a bona fide source, proper source, even apparently it may not look very attractive, or the very nicely packaged, or some crumpled, some mahaprasad from Jagannath Puri, no problem, Jagannath Puri will take it immediately. Or some very dried up garland from Vrindavan, Radha Shyamchandra, Tulsi garland, okay, no problem, we'll take it. So the more important is given for the source or where it is coming from, rather than just outside package or material things. Why? Because the source is actually affecting the cause. Where it is coming from, that affects the food. Everything is affected by where it is coming from. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, when we hear from Sukadeva Goswami or a pure devotee, Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a book which is spoken by a Narottama or a greatly advanced pure devotee. A Narottama is glorifying Purushottama or the Supreme Lord. So that is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. A pure devotee glorifying the all pure Supreme Lord. So unless this book is meant for a discussion between the pure devotee and the devotee want to become pure devotee. Nirmatsaranam satam, meant for those who are Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. So similarly, in this verse we are reading, if anyone hears this story of Chitraketu from a bona fide source, he will freed from the conditioned life of material existence. In the purport, Prabhupada mentioned the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised that one learn the history of Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee. So secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Swarup Damodar Goswami. So he also advised, one time there was a great scholar came to Jagannath Puri, and he composed a nice drama drama on Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he wanted very much that Mahaprabhu should hear this, so he asked the devotees. But Mahaprabhu is also very strict. Unless it is a bona fide book, he would not listen. In fact, anything which has to come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to listen it, it has to pass through Sarup Damodar Goswami. He checks whether it is proper, the Rasatattva are okay, or the Siddhanta is there, or any Rasabhas, then it will be rejected. You know. So, such a person, he came to Mahaprabhu's associate and he was reading his poems. All the devotees are highly impressed. Such a nice poem he has written. So they approach Sarup Damodar Goswami, please you hear this. If you hear and if you say yes, then Mahaprabhu will also hear this. So they push so much Sarup Damodar Goswami, but he said, it's not easy to write poem and poetry, glorification of the Lord. So, you know, don't bother me. But they insisted so much. So just to please the devotees, he listened to the poem. And the first immediate verse, introductory verse itself, Sarup Damodar Goswami immediately found mistakes. This poet have written that Lord Jagannath, who is immovable Brahman, now taken a form of moving Brahman, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and is walking around so that he can get access to all the conditioned soul. So here in this poem, he compared Jagannath to be a immovable Brahman or non-moving Brahman, which is like a body, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the soul. So by saying this, he offended both Lord Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He, when he differentiated Jagannath as a body, he is comparing that the body is material and the soul is different from the body, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he differentiated Jagannath body and his soul. There is no difference between the soul and body of the Supreme Lord. And also, he offended Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that this is moving, he is moving, but as Jagannath is not moving. So in this way, he offended both, and Sarup Damodar Goswami chastised him. And he told that without properly trained, one cannot dare to comment, write poems on the Supreme Lord. Plus, he also said at that time that if you really want to understand Bhagavatam, that you approach a great devotee of the Lord, person Bhagavatam. And then if you hear from him, then you will have effect. So in this way, Sarup Damodar Goswami put a standard, kept a standard that if anyone wants to learn Bhagavatam, go to a devotee who is properly trained in Srimad Bhagavatam. We also see sometimes people argue that what is the greatness of who is speaking, the scripture, the subject is the same. Whoever speaks, what difference is going to make? But we also see in the material realm also, the place spoken and the person who is speaking and the subject a person is speaking is an effect. Actually, there is one term called performative utterances. That example given, that when a person speaks same statement, different people speak, but it has different effect on the people. The example given, just like a boy and girl traveling in the bus, and the conductor is giving ticket, and he speaks a word. He uttered some words that, okay, now both you, the boy and the girl, both of you now getting married. Both of you got married now. So when he makes the statement, it is not that because he told that, that becomes true. No, he's just a conductor saying something. But the same statement made by a priest in the church or a judge in the court, both of you married, we acknowledge your marriage, now onwards you are husband and wife. They say that statement has validity, and that same statement has effect. So even materially also you can see that when a person speaks according to his position, that has an effect. Similarly, we also see that if a lower class person speaking about a higher subject, that actually insult for that subject being spoken. For example, if somebody is invited to give a lecture in a place, very highly qualified professional person, and the person who is going to introduce him, he comes walking already he is fully drunk and he's walking literally like swaying back and forth, and Sambhodari caught hold of the mic and is introducing the great qualities of the speaker. So now the audience feel, what they feel about the speaker, or the speaker himself will become, why this fellow is spoiling my image. There may be glorification of that speaker, but because the character of the person who is introducing is of low class, so low class person speaks about the higher subject matter is not actually pleasing to, neither to the audience nor to the speaker. It just cannot argue that because the speech or the subject matter is very high, it doesn't mean that the audience are pleased, or the object of the speech or the speaker is very pleased. No. Most important is that who is introducing or who is speaking that subject matter. Or a high class person, highly civilized and very considered very high in the society, people don't expect that he will introduce some joker in the street, or he would not introduce something about silly matters in the society. He would speak things which is really on the high rank. So similarly, when the Bhagavatam says that, people sometimes accuse, why you say that only, this Bhagavatam is only spoken by those who are highly qualified, why anybody cannot speak? So it is fact, even materially also, that people expect certain qualification to speak on certain subject matter. So similarly, the Bhagavatam should be spoken by a highly qualified person which is correspond to the subject matter. So that's why the speakers of the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, is a highly qualified person and highly evolved person spiritually, and he is speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. That combination becomes really sweet. That is the greatness of Bhagavatam. So when Srila Prabhupada says that Sarpo Chishtam Yatapaya, Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam, it is not a partial statement. Oh, this Bhagavatam is only meant for some society or some class of people. No, it is a fact, because the subject matter is such that it has to be spoken by a qualified person, or a person who is in line with the qualified disciple succession. So, this statement is not a partial or some kind of state meant for differentiate people. In fact, many times people come to Srila Prabhupada and argue, Swamiji, you are very partial, because you are talking only about Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Some Mayavadis came and they argued. But we see, we accept everyone. We accept, all demigods, we accept, everything is one. But you are very partial. You only speak about Krishna. And the greatness of Hindu religion is we accept everyone. But only speaking about Krishna, what is this, you are very narrow-minded. They are talking to Prabhupada. Prabhupada trying to explain to them, this is scripture which says Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And they are telling, you are shouting others as rascals. But Prabhupada said, Krishna is telling the same thing. I am repeating that. But then Prabhupada finally said that you are telling me as partial, that I am only limited to one particular thing. But you see, I am giving Krishna to not just to the Indians. I am giving Krishna to the Americans, Russians, Europeans, or any caste, religion, anybody can come and take to Krishna consciousness. So you think that, you say that I am partial, but how many of you have given? How many people that you have given this Vedic knowledge? You are only holding to yourself. So who is partial now? I have given Krishna to everyone, so I am impartial actually. In this way, he chastised, and they could not speak a single word after that. So Prabhupada is actually magnanimous. Not partial. When you say that Bhagavatam is meant for, should be spoken by a qualified person, it is actually a statement not based on partiality, but based on its mere requirement of the subject matter. So, since this verse is talking about by hearing the activities of Chitraketu Maharaj or Vritrasura, that one will get the benefit, only will go back home, back to Godhead, and he'll be freed from the bondage of the material world. So I thought of this is the last verse, speaking something about the qualities of Vritrasura and some kind of understanding on his personality. So in the whole pastime, long pastime of Chitraketu and Vritrasura, when Chitraketu Maharaj was traveling the airplane and he spoke about Lord Shiva in a certain way, and Parvati becomes angry at him and she curses Chitraketu Maharaj. And after she cursed, Lord Shiva, here is a later Parvati laments that why she did that. So here we see that when two people are of the same caliber interact with each other, that one has to be very careful not to take on either person's side. Like here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then fight between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu. Immediately Kaviraj Goswami gave a warning of Vrindavan Das Thakur. If anybody takes the side of one person thinking that they are fighting materially, he will be doomed. So here, Parvati took a side of one person. Naturally, she is a wife and somebody speaking with a husband. So here we learned a lesson that we should be careful in judging Vaishnavas who are apparently contradicting each other, unless the person have the authority to do that. In South, they say one particular term, cashew nut. The cashew nut fruit is something interesting. But generally, every fruit has seed inside. If you have mango seed is inside. If you take any particular fruit, banana seeds are inside, or the guava fruit seed is inside. But if you take a cashew nut tree, fruit, Prabhuji knows, the seed is outside. It comes outside like this. It hangs below the fruit. So they say that don't become cashew nut. That means what? You don't try to poke your nose in others' business. Like a cashew nut comes out of the fruit. Everybody stays inside the fruit. It comes out of the fruit. So you do your business. Krishna will do his business. And others will do other business. So trying to peep into the, especially in the dealings of the great Vaishnavas, sometime causes a lot of, anxiety later. So she curses Chitraketu Maharaj, and immediately Lord Shiva speaks to Parvati. Drishtavati ashi shushroni harer adbhuta karmanaha mahatmyam vritya vrityanam nisprahanam mahatmana. She said, see the greatness of the devotees of Lord Vishnu. So after Parvati curses Chitraketu, Chitraketu Maharaj just comes down and he pays his obeisances to Mother Parvati. And it was like kind of bewildering for all the sages, and even for more for Parvati. And immediately Lord Shiva speaks to Parvati, you may be very beautiful, Shishroni, but see Hare Radbhuta Karmanaha. See the greatness of the devotees of Lord Vishnu. He defeated your beauty by begging forgiveness. So in this way, the greatness of Chitraketu Maharaj, he tolerated this this insult on the words. So Chitraketu Maharaj, Vritrasura in this also, that in both life, as a devotee of Lord Vishnu, he tolerated the dualities. In effect to the place, in effect to the words, in effect to the body. So these three things I just noted down, that in effect to the place, and the reason is also given why a devotee could do that. So Chitraketu Maharaj was living in a Vidyadhara planet, flying in the airplane with beautiful girls around him. So this is a situation, condition of life. And he's a devotee of the Lord, very happy life. But when this curse was pronounced against Chitraketu, that Mother Parvati spoken very heavily against him, that this Chitraketu is thinking he is a very highly elevated Kshatriya. He thinks that he surpassed Lord Brahma and other demigods. He thinks he can take the rod of punishment. And this lowest person should be sent down to the hellish planets. So this very harsh words for Chitraketu Maharaj, for he did not do any wrong. Chitraketu Maharaj himself said that I did not do anything wrong. But if you think that something I've done wrong, pradigrinnami te shapam anjalina atmana anjalina ambikete, that I will hold my hands and I accept your curse. So here Chitraketu Maharaj, he surpassed the dualities of harsh words and sweet words. He accepted the words. Okay, Ambike. Okay, my dear mother, you are speaking these words to me. I accept it with my folded hands. And this particular statement of Chitraketu Maharaj shocks Mother Parvati and all the saints around them. And they completely become... And Lord Shiva started glorifying Chitraketu Maharaj. What a tolerance he has. Generally very difficult to tolerate. Even when we perform some mistakes, somebody corrects us. But especially when a person has not done any mistakes, intentional mistake, and somebody shouts at that person, very difficult to accept it. What to speak of accepting it gratefulness and without retaliating also. So that is the greatness of Chitraketu Maharaj. He accepted that curse. But sometime it so happened, the people that they've been shouted in the office also, you may say there's some peon or some worker, the boss shouted them for what they have not done. So they just tolerate. But it is not that they are very advanced in their character or quality, but it just, their position is like that. But here, Chitraketu Maharaj, his position is not just like that. He has the power to retaliate the curse of Mother Parvati. In fact, the Bhagavatam says, he has a power, Riti Bhagavato Devya Pratishalitum Alantamaha. That he could actually retaliate Mother Parvati, but he just, you know, Murdhna Jagrahe Te Shapam Etavat Sadhu Lakshanam. This is the quality of a sadhu, that he just put his head down and accepted the curse upon himself. They accepted the words. Okay, I accept these words. And in fact, he told Mother Parvati that actually speaking, that I don't want to take this curse. I'm not begging you to take your curse back from me. In fact, I accept your curse. So here, Chitraketu Maharaj accept that particular insult of words or the curse as if nothing had actually happened. So he accepted the words, bird words or good words. And devotee isn't affected by that. Second, as the effect of the word, it acted in his body, beautiful Gandharva Vidyadhara body, but the body now going to become, the golden body is going to become blackish, the beautiful teeth are going to become speak teeth, and the food became different food, and the hair became different hair. It's going to happen. Someday people accept, okay, they speak some very bad words and they just leave it, because they know that it's not going to get fructified. They may say, you will die, you go to hell. But nothing will happen to each other. But here, Chitraketu Maharaj knows the effect of the words of Parvati, but still, he tolerated. The words he tolerated, and then the body he gets is the body of a demon. Can you imagine from one extreme to another extreme, body, a sophisticated body of a demigod to the body of a demon. But he did not mind. And plus, the words, the body, and the third is the place of residence. Beautiful heavenly planets, and the airplane, and suddenly, just like, you know, if you're traveling from the plane and suddenly into local train, it's like, when this will end? But here, practically, more than that, immediately Chitraketu Maharaj, Chitraketu to Vritrasura was put into the demon body, huge body, and, you know, the food, man-eating, demon. So he did not mind. He tolerated happily. So we may wonder why he could tolerate that. What is that? Because we all in our life as a sadhaka devotee, we are struggling with these dualities. Somebody spoken some bad words, somebody given some, you know, preaching place is not favorable, or somebody's the authority has given you that, you know, you become diseased sometime. Like the devotee was telling about Varsana Maharaj, he was working in such a, he was working with the machines for so long time, staying in the farm, can you imagine staying in the farm, and he's working with the bulldozer for many, many years. So he got the disease what a person gets in the city, staying in the pollution. So he's staying in the farm, but he got the disease of a person staying in the city pollution because he worked on the bulldozer, the smoke is coming. But when he asked, the devotees asked him, so you didn't feel bad, and he's coming from a country background. He said, I am grateful, I'm accepting that. So how is it possible for a devotee to accept the situations, the great devotees, and which is not possible for us to do, at least. So why it is possible? So the Bhagavatam also gives a reason for that. So he tolerated the body, the place, and the words, and how he could do that. This one small technique, if you get that, all the problems in devotional service is solved. So what is the reason? The Bhagavatam says, Jnana Vijnana Samyutam. It said that when Chitraketu Maharaj fell down from his position, from his beautiful body, from his from hearing the insulting words, when he became the demon, he did not lose the consciousness. In fact, he was same devotee, Jnana Vijnana Samyutam, Devam Yoni Mashritya. He was taken shelter of a yoni of a demon, but he did not lose his consciousness. So Vritrasura, he thought, Chitraketu Maharaj, he thought, I don't mind where I am staying. That's why immediately Lord Shiva glorified Chitraketu Maharaj. See the greatness of the devotee. You know, what position, the devotees, the Lord, are not attached to any place and position. They are Narayana Parasarvina Kudashina Bibhyadi Swarga Apavarka Narakeshu Api Tulyartha Darshana. That they are not bothered about staying in the Vaikuntha, or they are not bothered about staying in the hellish planet or in the heaven. For them, all are same. Why? Because Jnana Vijnana Samyutam. Their consciousness is completely absorbed in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Hari. So they are not disturbed by the external situation. So that, for that reason, Chitraketu Maharaj, what insulting words Parvati speaks, doesn't matter. Where, which place you are sending me, doesn't matter. You know, what body I am going to get, doesn't matter. He just says, Atmalilam, Atmanam, Anjalikem, Ambike. That I fold my hands, my dear Parvati, and accept your curse upon me. That is the glory of, that's why Lord Shiva is glorifying. See the Hare Radbuddha Karmanam. See the greatness of the devotees of the Lord. They don't even want to go to the spiritual world. Sarshi Saloke Samipya Diyamanam Nagrananti Jana Mat Sevanam Vina. That they don't want to even go to the spiritual world if there is no service for them. So that is a special greatness of Chitraketu Maharaj, that he could I don't mind. This one. And second is that Chitraketu Maharaj also, as Vritrasura, he did not think, okay, I have not done any mistake, but this curse was dumped upon me. And on purpose, Prabhupada writes, this is the arrangement of the Lord, that he made Parvati to curse Chitraketu Maharaj in this way, so that he can go back to Godhead as early as possible. So now, Chitraketu Maharaj also wasn't so eager to go back to Godhead. But when Mother Parvati cursed Chitraketu Maharaj, he immediately speaks to Parvati that Pradigridnami te shapam, I accept the shapam, Atmanam Anjalinam Bike, that in the folded hands. And the reason he gives, because this curse is not actually given by you, it is only because of Deve Martyaya Yat Proktam Purva Dishtam Hitasyatat. He said that this is just because of my past mistakes I have done, I am getting the reaction for that. So now, Chitraketu Maharaj, even though he did not commit any mistakes, but he tells that this reaction has come upon me not because of you cursed me, so difficult to do this. Somebody tells something that very difficult to accept it. But Chitraketu Maharaj just put blame on himself. Because of my past mistakes, I am getting this reaction from you, so you are not to be blamed. So I am going to, okay, thank you, Mother. You are the cause. You are the instrument. So he accepted that. And now, after accepting this, Chitraketu Maharaj as a Vritrasura, because he knows that he did not commit any mistakes. And he just did not make a statement that it's because of me that I mean put into the situation. But he actually acted on this statement. Walk your talk. So Vritrasura, he did not think, okay, you know, this is Lord's arrangement. He want me to come to back to God so fast. So I spoke something which is actually not wrong. Parvati cursed me. So why I should anything? I'll just stay like this. No. He actually acted so enthusiastically as part as a demon. He did not say, okay, I got a demon body, I'll just sit and I'll sit like that. No, he did his service. Sometimes we are being chastised, the mistakes, like you did this wrong, so you are being sent to this particular place as a punishment. Now, you may go to that place, but okay, I did not do the mistake, I mean told to go like that, so why I should do my service, I'll just sit there, you know. They should realize that I did not do this mistake. So, here Chitraketu Maharaj was sent to the hellish, to the demonic body for mistakes what he actually did not perform, because he himself says to Mother Parvati. But Chitraketu, Vritrasura accepted that as if he really committed the mistake and he will do the part what he is supposed to do, that enemy of Indra. So, he was fighting enthusiastically. So, two things happened, many times Govindpur explains, that people put blame on the Deva, or okay, this is the arrangement of the God, let them do. Or people put everything on their head for good activities they perform. See, I got good result because I studied hard. I got these things, you know, I got this prize because I did hard. Something goes wrong, I did everything. It's God who is sitting under the sky, he did not favor me. So good things, they favor them, and bad things, they put blame on the God. But Vritrasura actually, he took the bad things, he did, because of my bad activities I got the curse. He accepted the bad part as himself, he is the cause. But the good part, what he is receiving, he accepted this as a mercy of the Lord, he is not actually qualified. So in devotional service, when we think that we are the doer, I am chanting, I am distributing books, I am doing everything, and there is a concept comes that a person be very enthusiastic. Oh, I distributed this many books. I am doing this service. I am doing this preaching. I am doing this cooking. A person become so excited, enthusiastic because I am doing. I am going to achieve more and more glorification. So that putting credit on oneself, it can give enthusiasm to the person. Utsaha. But it is because it is not a fact. Sometimes you also fail in your all your attempt. Books are not going, cooking, the item got burned, and you are dosing off in your Japan. I am putting all energy, why it is not happening? So, then you realize, okay, I am not the doer. So at that time, the real test comes, that are we able to follow the second principle of Rupa Goswami, that is Utsaha Dhairyat. So Dhairyat are patience. At that time, okay, I am not able to do anything, so I will just give up doing things. So at that time, if we take shelter of the second thing of patience, that actually I am not the doer, the Lord is the doer. Then, when the combination of karmavad and devavad, that my endeavor and the mercy of the Lord combines together, a person can become utsahat, I will do my best. At the same time, I can't achieve the result, I will depend on Krishna's mercy to come upon me. So when both things together, actually devotee becomes happy in Krishna consciousness. So here we see, Vritrasura, Chitraketu, and both role, he was actually enthusiastic. I can do it, I'll try my best. I got this demon body, not because of my mistake, but as I mean told to perform service in this human body, even though it is not his mistake, but he does that service so enthusiastically that even he's encouraging Indra, Indra, come on, get up, take your, you know, go and fight with me. So enthusiastic. Of the service is not actually supposed to be done by him. It's not his mistake. But still, he accepts the blame upon his head and performs that activity so enthusiastically. At the same time, he is not thinking that, okay, you know, I am going, a particular time going to come, Lord Narayan is going to take me back to Godhead, so I'll just accept, I'll just stay there. Let Indra kill me. No. He was not just putting the service on God's head, like Prabhupada said. It's not that Arjuna is telling that, Krishna, you fight and kill all the Kaurava soldiers, I will sit and smoke ganja. Prabhupada says this statement. So Vritrasura is not like thinking that, okay, this is destiny, so I'm not in any mistake, let Lord take care of these things. No, he was actually fighting. At the same time, he was patient, waiting, okay, let the time come. So when those two combination joins, then actually that's why Lord Shiva is glorifying, Hare Radbuddha Karmanaha, Nispruhanam Mahatmanam, that this devotees of the Lord is so great because they have the tolerance. They accept blame on themselves, give credit to the Lord, and they accept the insult of others and give respect. Trinathapi Sunichena, Taravriva Sahishuna, Amanina Madhana Kirtani Sadhari. So that is the whole, again and again, Srila Prabhupada speaks on these two verses, that how the personality of Vritrasura, the Vritrasura story actually makes the Bhagavatam unique. This pastime doesn't come in any other Puranas, only in Bhagavatam it comes. So that Vritrasura pastime is so nice that it brings out the wholesome character of Chitraketu Maharaj and Vritrasura. He tolerated the insulting words, he tolerated the difference of body, the bodily changes, he tolerated the place of residence, not just tolerated, he glorified Mother Parvati for the things to be given to him. And plus also, he also did not kind of thinking why it happened to him. He was glorifying the Lord, performing service enthusiastically in different situation, in difficult situation. Plus, he is just waiting for the mercy of the Lord to descend upon him. So these are the, at least we can aspire for, to get these qualities by, that's why we should hear this story of Bhagavatam from the devotees who are living such a life, similar life. So we hear this, we see the same thing in Srila Prabhupada's life and their followers, and we may aspire to at least sometime to achieve some of this quality so that we can please Krishna. So I stop here. Actually, I'm not qualified to speak these things because I myself fail in all the situation, but still I try to serve. Hare Krishna. We'll stop here. Any comments or questions? Any correction? Shivas Prabhu, you got so much experience. Okay. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai. Speculation.